Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 127 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Seth.
I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And this week we have a special treat. I have a new co-host, as you probably just heard. Carly Carmona is an old friend of the show, and she is back. Carly, why don't you introduce yourself and let listeners know what you've been up to?
Yes. First off, you nailed my last name. It is a hard one. Carly Caramana. I hear it all.
It'll never happen again.
That's perfect. I am a food and travel writer that specializes in theme parks. So not only the Disney parks and Universal, but I do Dollywood, Silver Dollar City, which everyone needs to go to, Hershey Park, and, you know, a whole lot more. All the fun ones.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us this week. Maybe next week. Who knows? You might stick around for a little while, hopefully. Not. We miss our editor and publisher, Matt, but he's got bigger things to do right now other than hang out with us on a Saturday. But thank you for joining me. And we both got to check out Peppa Pig theme park this week. That was kind of the big highlight of my week. I know we were like ships in the night. I think you were just leaving the park as I was just coming there. But it's, as we've talked about on the podcast before, it's right adjacent to the Legoland park out in Winter Haven, about an hour and a quarter outside of Orlando. And what did you think of your first visit to the almost open Peppa Pig theme park?
Yes, I loved it. I was really impressed. There's six attractions, so it is definitely a micro park by any standard. Love Daddy's Pig roller coaster. I thought it was just as fun for an adult as it is for a kid. We talked about that little boost. It's got a little action going in there.
It's sort of like a little baby launch coaster.
Yes. You
know? And I personally kind of like it better than the Barnstormer or the Woody Woodpecker coaster at Kids Zone. If nothing else, because you get two laps around. You get to do two full circuits.
And that was a surprise too. We caught up there and I'm like, oh, we're going again.
We're still going.
I loved all the little playscapes. I thought they were, instead of just throwing up a playground, it was actually very themed. It was really cool. And everything that was, you know, Peppa's high tea treehouse. There was the little tricycles. It's so well done. And I heard that people that brought their kids stayed there like all day. Kids don't want to leave. So I can see, you know, they're saying a few hours. I think you could make a day out of it.
They've got a very reasonable price. I think it's 35 at the gate or about 30 if you buy online, which I think is appropriate for the scale of it. Personally, my favorite thing was, and I have never watched an episode of Peppa Pig in my life, but they have a little indoor cinema where you can lie down on these big beanbag chairs in a quiet room and watch a couple episodes, and I could chill out there forever. Every theme park needs a room with beanbag chairs where you can take a nap.
It reminded me, like, some parks have sensory rooms, which is so funny to take your kid. It was air conditioned. And those beanbag chairs, like, it's hard to describe how big they were. I'm pretty sure you could fit, like, an entire family on there.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so cold, too. So.
Yeah. And speaking of sensory, one thing, you know, they're a certified autism center.
Yeah.
And there's information if your kid has a sensory or neurological issue with a taste or smell or something, there's little symbols on every attraction to kind of tell you how stimulating it'll be. Really innovative for families who are dealing with that.
And so they'll get that designation when Peppa Pig opens, and it'll be for the whole Legoland Resort. So that's a really good resource for, you know, parents to look up before they even get to the park. Because I know it's a lot. You got to get ahead of the game when you're planning with that. So it was really impressive.
Yeah. So if your kids are already, you know, school age, they're probably aged out. But if they're preschoolers, toddlers, this is a great option. Check it out. Definitely. All right. So let's head on in without any further ado. And let's get into the news.
The
All right, first up this week, the world premiere of Harry Potter the Exhibition is opening in Philadelphia February 18th, which was yesterday. So it's open now at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. This is the most comprehensive touring exhibition ever about the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, kind of celebrating the 25th anniversary since Harry Potter was first transported from King's Cross Station at platform 9 3/4. And this is an exhibit at the Franklin Institute in Philly, which is one of my personal favorite museums anywhere in the world. I grew up in that area. It's an amazing family museum, and they are bringing to life iconic moments from the books, from the films, with props, with interactive exhibits, merchandise. It really looks like a fantastic exhibit. Is this something that you would be into if you were up in Philly?
Yes, yes. I'm originally from New Jersey, so I am a fan of the city in general, and of course, the family. Yes. Mm-hmm. Woo! I think this is going to be an incredible success. If there was any indication from the Harry Potter New York experience, which is really just a merch store, mm-hmm. this is going to be incredible. There's bottled butter beer, so you're not going to yes. get a draft, but I still think that's really cool. And there's a potions class you can take. So there is definitely a good reason to visit and spend the day.
There are so many kind of different exhibits and elements to this. I can't really dig into all of them, but the whole thing was created, developed by Imagine Exhibitions in partnership with Warner Brothers. And so you've got things from Harry Potter. You've got things from Fantastic Beasts. Yep. You've even got some stuff from Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And it's all authorized. It's all 100% authentic. There's a cool system that you can use with your smartphone while you're there. You can sort of pre-register with by creating a personal profile and picking a house. And then the information that you give will customize your experience throughout the exhibit, which takes up 18,000 square feet, over 21 galleries. So this is a major thing to plan your visit to the Franklin Institute around. You've even got a gift shop at the end where you can get some of the exclusive stuff that we have in the theme parks, like the chocolate frogs. And like you said, things we don't have in the theme parks, like bottled butter beer. I don't know. Do you think the TSA would appreciate it if you just stock your whole suitcase full of butter beer? I don't know if that's a carry-on. I don't think
I'm
you can carry
check that. But yeah. Also, there's exclusive merchandise. So I'm excited yes. to see what they're going to have.
Yep. Exhibit. Mina Lima, who are the graphic designers, they'll have exhibit and things for sale. And so if you're interested in this, this is going on, like we said, in Philadelphia at the Franklin Institute from February 18th all the way through September 18th. And it's daily 9:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., but you need a timed ticket. So you've got to get an advance reservation on their website. And it's $43 for adults. There may be some discounts for kids and other groups. I'd say that's definitely, there's a lot of great things in Philly, and that mm-hmm. is definitely something to add to your list if you're planning a vacation out there. Okay, next up, Lara Croft has been completely reimagined. Lara Croft, who is the heroine of the Tomb Raider video games that started way back in the 1990s and continue through today, has been given a new look, which you can see in a sandstone sculpture that's being installed in the UK for a new attraction in Camden called Tomb Raider The Live Experience. Paramount Pictures and Crystal Dynamics, who is the gaming developer who created Lara Croft, they are creating this new live experience. It's sort of like an escape room in the UK. And that is not open quite yet, but ahead of its opening, they have shown off their redesign of the Lara Croft character in the form of this statue. And if you are a longtime video gamer, this is sort of halfway in between the 1990s glamorous Lara Croft that was played by Angelina Jolie in the movies and the more modern Survivor trilogy era from the mid 2013 through 2018, the updated rebooted trilogy, which is more gritty. So they've kind of split the difference for this new version of Lara Croft that you're going to see at this live Tomb Raider experience in the UK. Carly, are you a gamer? Are you a Lara Croft fan?
So I am not, but I am a fan of Little Lion Entertainment. That is
okay.
This. So they were the ones that created basically the live immersive experiences in London with their first one was based on the Crystal Maze, which is like a 90s cult game show. And
Richard O'Brien from the Rocky Horror.
Yes, amazing.
So amazing, creepy game host.
He is, yes, he is something. I love it, though. It's quirky. So I've been to London a few times to do the Crystal Maze experience.
Okay.
And it is incredible. I mean, the best way to describe it is, or just the most accessible way to say it is like an escape room, but it's more like stepping onto a television set, which mm-hmm. they actually do. These rooms are so well done with, you know, professional set designers that mm-hmm. I can only imagine what they're going
to
do.
Well, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but I did get to see a floor plan of this Ooh. Lara Croft live experience. And it's basically like walking through a video game. You go through a temple in an ancient jungle. You emerge into the snow. There's a portion where you're riding in a truck and you people are driving at you. I think this is done with projections, mix of projections and physical sets. Through the snow, you go through like a restaurant. It's almost like a cross between a haunted house plus an escape room plus a laser tag. It's got so many different elements and basically is going to make you feel like you're living through a video game.
Oh, it's wild. I did one of the laser rooms when I was in the Crystal Maze, and it's intense. I mean, it kind of looks like, to me, the only way I could rationalize it is like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
With these rooms that you go into. And that's, I felt like I was on the show when I did it. So I think this is going to be incredible.
That's fantastic. Well, the attraction opens up in April. The statue is unveiled now in Camden in the UK. And, you know, it's not a cheap experience. The tickets are going to cost $89 per person. But it does seem like it's got high production value. So TombRaiderLive.co.uk. Maybe you can give a call to Destinations with Character Travel, our sponsor, and maybe they can help you out with booking a trip out there. Okay. Next up, Mickey's Toontown at Disneyland is closing for about a year, and this is killing me. March 9th is the day that it is closed. I fly into California on March 8th.
No.
They are shutting down the land so that they can complete Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is a ride that we know well from here in Walt Disney World at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's getting transplanted over there. I hear it may get a few changes and maybe some additions and upgrades over there. But in addition to that, they're reimagining the area around it, Toontown, with more green space, a new fountain, more areas where families can relax. But rest assured that the Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin ride is coming back, and Mickey and Minnie's houses are also both coming back. There's going to be changes made to the Gadget's Go Coaster, but that will still be around. Goofy's house and Donald's boat will probably be transformed. But if you want to see this, the old version of Toontown, you better get in there by March 8th because we don't have a reopening date, but it will be about a year. How do you feel about this transformation of Toontown?
I think the area needs a little tender love and care. So I am excited.
Amen.
To see what they Amen. Do with it. I mean, just the colors and the overall aesthetic could use a little updating. I am excited for Roger Rabbit because I love Jessica Rabbit. So we're going to get her a little bit more in the action.
Yeah. Well, so they actually made a very quiet update to the Roger Rabbit ride within the last few months. You can find video online. Jessica Rabbit has been modified in the ride. It used to be that you would see her being kidnapped and shoved into a trunk of a car. And now she is standing next to that car dressed as a private detective. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of that ride, she was wearing her signature sparkly lounge singer gown. And now instead she is dressed in as a private detective in a trench coat. I don't know if we are getting any additional changes to the ride with Jessica. That would be nice if we got a few more upgrades there. But I'm just looking forward to some more green space, because the thing about Toontown is that it was a lot of hard surfaces. There was a lot of fake plastic trees, fake plastic grass. And this almost indicates either if it is AstroTurf, it's at least nicer, more realistic looking AstroTurf. I am always a fan of advocate for Disneyland having more places where you can just sit and relax.
Right now really the only places to do that is if you're an adult grabbing a drink at a little lounge somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really nowhere, I mean, because of size, you know, to let your kids kind of run free.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, plastic. So
it always amuses me how, like, at Universal Studios Florida, one of the most popular spots in the park is that AstroTurf lawn in front of Music Plaza stage. Yeah. And you see people just napping, you know, just crashed out there. So to have a thing like that that's also got trees and shade and a little character to it, that sounds awesome to me. So my big dilemma is I fly in, I literally get to LAX around, I don't know, 3 o'clock on March 8th. Do I burn a full day park ticket? I have about 2 or 3 hours. And actually, the Toontown area usually closes early. It depends on if there is fireworks with the Mickey's Mixed Magic show that night. But I'm, you know, is it worth burning a full day a park ticket just to get one last ride on Roger Rabbit?
Yes. I'm always going to say go for it.
Yes. I do love Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
I was around in the 90s when he was big, and I still have a soft spot for him.
Yes. I think it's worth it. You got to do it. Just hop on that lift, get there, and do it.
Well, our next up is that the Disney Wish has finally hit the water for the first time. Disney Cruise Line's highly anticipated new cruise ship, the Disney Wish, has hit the water for the first time. She floated out of an enclosed building dock at the Meyer Werft shipyard in Papenburg, Germany. She's still got work to do, but it's happening. She's on her way. It took about 5 hours and 29 million gallons of water in order to flood the building dock in order to get her out. The milestone was celebrated with fireworks, musical fanfare, and of course, Captain Minnie Mouse had to be on hand. How do you feel about the Disney Wish? Are you excited about this one?
I am excited. I wish that adults could ride down the slide that comes from the Grand Hall. So that is my
yes, right into the kids. The kids' club has a slide entrance that. I wish.
I know. If you remember Blank Check, that was like one of my favorite movies, and he had that slide coming out. So I wish, but no, it looks amazing. Hopefully it'll still be on track for its maiden voyage in July. So.
Well, yes. Right now its maiden voyage is scheduled for July 14th. There were some delays. People who were on the initial opening voyages got pushed back. They did get a nice little bonus, I think like a 50% discount for the delay, but I know that's frustrating when you were planning on being on the inaugural cruise. We do also have some more information about some of the venues and experiences that those folks who do get to sail on the Wish are going to experience, and some of them feature Inside Out and Frozen. Inside Out is getting a sweet treat shop where you can make your own memory orb, customized with your preferred emotion. Apparently, joy tastes like lemons, sadness tastes like blueberries, anger tastes like red velvet, fear tastes like bubblegum, and I know my wife will disagree strongly with this. Disgust, they say, is pistachio. I am disgusted that they are disgusted by pistachio because I like pistachio.
Same. But I guess they couldn't. I love that flavor.
You know, I think there are other nastier green flavors, like green apple. No one really likes green apple. Yeah, they could have gone that way.
And they're gonna have 40 flavors of ice cream. For
yes,
crazy.
40 different flavors of gelato and ice cream with daily special combinations. House-made whipped cream, all sorts of tasty toppings. Now, this is, I'm not sure they specifically say this, but I am betting that this is an upcharge venue, that these are not things that are all free and included with your cruise. You're going to be charged a little extra for these, but they do look delicious. Something else that is charged extra, looks kind of cool, is Olaf's Royal Picnic. It is going to be a character experience with live performances of songs and food, gifts, keepsakes, all involving Olaf and his friends from Frozen. This is, like I said, an extra experience. You've got to purchase this for an additional fee and book it before you're sailing. When you go on a cruise, do you go, well, I don't know. How many cruises have you been on with, have you done many Disney cruises?
I've done a lot of cruises in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm not a cruise person. I know it's not for everyone. I will be going on the Disney Wish.
Awesome.
I wouldn't pay for Olaf's Royal Picnic because I feel like you have to have a kid with that one because they get awesome keepsakes.
For sure.
But I will be visiting Inside Out Joyful Sweets, even if you want to pay for some of the emotion cupcakes, because that I'm just curious now.
Absolutely. I kind of feel like, at least on the Disney cruises I've been on, there has been so much things to do and things to eat that were included in the fare that I haven't felt the need to buy upcharges. I've been on other cruise lines where I felt like I didn't have enough to occupy me and I had to pay for some of the extras. But Disney, generally, I feel like the included stuff is enough to occupy me. But if you were a kid who's Olaf crazy, this would definitely be a great way to occupy them.
And
on top of all that, there are things that are going to be included, including some immersive storytelling and interactive shows that are going to take place in some of the venues, including the Grand Hall. It's the first time that they've built kind of the main atrium of the ship specifically to hold live entertainment events, which will include something involving the fairy godmother, both when you first come on board and then a final farewell on the last night. A new venue called Luna, which is going to have a 2-story tall LED screen that is also doubles as a stage. And the thing that I am most curious about is Disney's Uncharted Adventure, which kind of looks like Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. It's something you're going to play on your smartphone using augmented reality all around the ship. And it looks like there will be a big finale, which will be a team group battle against an infamous Disney villain that looks like kind of one of these massive Pokemon Go raids. So a lot of interesting, fun venues coming to the Disney Wish in addition to the many things that we've already talked to about the past. When you are on the Disney Wish, is there any of these that you are especially looking forward to?
Yes. So the Luna Theater, first off, looks amazing from the renderings that we've seen. Mm-hmm. But as part of this announcement, they said there's going to be a villains game night.
Mm-hmm.
Where you play trivia while being heckled by villains. That is what I'm most excited about now.
You know, that all comes down to the talent. If they have good performers who can really capture those characters and are good at heckling without going, that's a delicate line because you don't want to go too far. Got to be a delicate balance. But that could be really wonderful.
Right. I just want Maleficent to yell at me.
Well, you are definitely going to have to report back for us. I do not have a reservation on the Wish. Probably will not be happening for me anytime soon unless Matt would like to send me to report on it. I volunteer. You'll have to come back and tell us all about it. And next up If you are heading to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia, in the month of March, you get to celebrate St. Patrick's Day all month long. Normally, St. Patrick's Day is just one day on March 17th. But Busch Gardens Williamsburg is kicking it off on March 4th and going all the way through March 27th with new live entertainment. They've got a leprechaun scavenger hunt. And you will also, during that time, maybe get to take your first ride on Pantheon, which is their long-awaited new roller coaster. Some of the entertainment includes live music by Dublin Over and Emerald Ensemble. There's going to be an Irish rock band performing tributes to U2, Flogging Molly's, and the Cranberries. And Celtic Fire is exploring traditional storytelling through the art of Irish dance. Carly, are you a big St. Patrick's Day fan?
I am, and I want some green beer, which they're gonna have. And I'm just
I like the beer, but not the green part.
Just close your eyes.
That affects. Oh, it's not the way it looks. It's the next day. It's just
I'm all for these regional parks extending festivals and doing all the seasonal stuff, and I'm so happy that it's such a success and bringing people in, especially locals. I'm sure that'll keep coming back. So keep the festivals going as long as possible.
Yeah, I have a place in my heart for Busch Gardens Williamsburg. It was the first theme park I ever worked for, back in my college days. I worked on the brewery tour there when they had a brewery attached to the theme park. And, I always loved the Ireland section. They used to have a, Enchanted Laboratory, live show that I was just fascinated with when I was a kid. It's long gone. But there's still a lot of great things to check out there at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And if you show up on March 17th itself wearing something green, you might receive a nice surprise from the Shamrock Surprise Squad. So check out BuschGardensWilliamsburg.com or visit Destinations with Character Travel, and they can help you plan a trip. And next up, SeaWorld's offer has been rejected by Cedar Fair. This was big news last week. This has had the theme park industry buzzing ever since on February 1st. It was reported that SeaWorld Entertainment had made a $3.4 billion offer to buy out Ohio-based Cedar Fair and its 17 amusement parks. Well, that deal, at least in its current form, seems to be dead because SeaWorld made a short statement confirming that their offer has been rejected and they do not see a path forward to a transaction. Now, this would have been a really big deal, basically creating the largest theme park company in the country in terms of numbers of parks easily. It's dead for now, but you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, I know both of these companies saw a jump in their share prices. The stocks definitely liked this idea. So who knows if this could come back around. How did you feel when this news was announced?
I think it's a lot to take in. I mean, they would be literally a conglomerate with over 20 parks. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure if that would be a good thing or a bad thing for Knott's Berry Farm. Super curious about what that could mean. I don't know if it's something that it's completely done with. So I feel like we just got to keep up with it and see. Yep. Maybe there'll be a counter offer, or maybe this is just dead.
Yeah, I mean, I can see all sorts of scenarios. You know, with the boost in their stock price, I could almost imagine Cedar Fair now turning around saying, okay, you can't buy us, but let's buy you. Or a third party coming in and saying, you know, making an offer. What I love about, I haven't been to many of the Cedar Fair parks, but Knott's Berry Farm has a very distinct identity. Even though it's got big coasters and big attractions, it feels small and cozy and still kind of handmade. And I would hate to see that feeling change.
Same. Yeah. And just going through, like, I'll go there often and I'll just hang out in Ghost Town. I won't even go by the big coasters because, like you said, it has that, there's a charm there that you can't find anywhere else. You know, it's over 100 years old. So,
So we're going to keep an eye on this. I don't, you know, the idea of mergers, I think, is going to keep coming back in the industry. For right now, if you're really worried, you can breathe a short sigh of relief, at least for the time being. So this is another trip that I personally will not be taking, but I can imagine being very excited for. Tickets to outer space, or at least very low Earth orbit, are now available to the public from Virgin Galactic. As of February 16th, you can put down your deposit and reserve your seat on one of the first space flights with Virgin Galactic. They plan on having their first 1,000 customers on board at the start of commercial service later this year. We are finally living in the future. I feel like my whole life, it's been like, in 5 years, you'll be able to take a commercial space flight. Well, it's supposedly happening this year. Your reservation will include access to the Future Astronaut membership community. When your time comes, you will head to Spaceport America in New Mexico and have a couple days of spaceflight preparedness activities. They don't call it training necessarily because you're really, I guess, just a passenger. But it will get you psyched up for your flight. The flight itself will be 90 minutes. You'll get a signature air launch, a Mach 3 boost into space, and you will have several minutes as the ship rotates to experience out-of-your-seat weightlessness and look down on the Earth from the spaceship's 17 windows. Ooh. So, if you are interested in doing that, you can make your reservation right now for the low, low price of only $150,000. And that is just the deposit. You will need to pay the full amount of $450,000 before you take your flight. They apparently do not allow you to do this on monthly payments like Disney Annual Pass. So, Carly, have you put down your deposit yet? And if not, why not?
Proudly, no. I am all for travel and adventure, but that is not somewhere I want to go. it's a lot. It's a lot of money, but that has nothing to do with it. You know, that is not something that I think I would be interested in. You know, I'm all for NASA space exploration, but I don't need to go there.
So I have thus far this year experienced Iron Gwazi and the new world's tallest drop tower on iDrive. Yes. And I believe that is probably as far off the Earth as I need to get other than my next plane flight. I'll let myself be the thousandth and one passenger. I'll let 1,000 people go ahead of me, make sure it's okay first. Then I'll talk about it. I don't know.
Market.
Do we have anyone in the comments? I'm curious to see what our folks in the comments. Will Elon Musk fund us going to Mars? That's and Brian, that's a good question. Brian also says, fully trained for space fatigue. Yeah, I think you probably would need some sort of training just to handle the strain, emotional shock of the experience. I don't know. Like I said, I'm all for big drop towers and roller coasters, but I'm not volunteering to be one of the first on this.
No, and I don't think, you know, some Mission Mars and Space 220 action will be enough training for us.
Not even the orange side of Mission Space.
I only do orange too, so yeah. I definitely don't know if I can handle this.
Well, instead, let's stay a little closer to home at Universal Orlando, where the resort has launched their own Discover Universal trip planning hub. Universal has long had a website and a blog, but they have now rebranded it as Discover Universal, which is a website devoted to trip planning information, podcasts, vlogs that they are producing to give you the must-dos, must-eats, and must-rides when planning a trip to Universal Orlando. And I am especially happy for a friend of the attractions and our old attractions show host, Mike Carr, who is now one of the ride guys. Yes. And is featured along with Dylan in this series. They launched the first episode where they ride Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. And it's a fun little video. I think Mike is perfect for this. He's a great improviser. He's got great on-camera charisma. And he's just a fun dude. We've got a comment from Brian here saying that they're somewhat mimicking the Disney Parks blog. Yes. I think that that Universal seems to be putting their own spin on it. And I think it's about time. They got some really talented staff. And I'm looking forward to what kind of content they churn out. Carly, have you gotten a chance to check out any of this yet?
Yes, I love that, the Ride Guys video. I am excited for Dine and Ride, which is going to be their food-focused, I think it's podcast, coming in May. And I just think overall, I mean, there's so much Disney vacation planning content for families. But as far as Universal, there just isn't as much because there's not as many content creators that are experts in that. So I'm excited just for more access for people to plan a really awesome trip. And the resort is only expanding ever so rapidly, especially with like Epic Universe coming. So to be able to have a hub where, you know, a parent can go to kind of just tackle that planning, and yeah, there's gonna be guides, itineraries. So I think this is just such a right move for Universal.
Yeah. Now I gotta say, I am a little torn as someone who writes a guidebook series to Universal. Yes. And does, you know, blogs and videos about park trip planning. I think that there's a place for an official outlet that has, you know, authorized content. You know that they'll have access to you know, the facts and the information, hopefully, and you know they'll have great production value. And I'll be tuning in, but I also think that there's also value for unofficial content. Absolutely. And you know, independent bloggers, people who are able to tell you what's good and also what's bad and be honest about that, in a way that I'm sure these guys are not going to be able to be brutally honest about their employer. You know, I think there's a room for both of it. So I know some people who are, you know, sort of the independent content creators are like, oh my God, they're going to destroy all these other websites. I don't think they're going to destroy any website. If you've got a website that's creating good independent content, that I think you'll still be okay as long as you're still doing good work.
Oh, definitely. And I just think, you know, if Disney releases a cupcake, there's a press release about it. And then the content creators come. I think, you know, a lot of times stuff will happen at Universal and we just don't know about it unless we're doing a really in-depth walk around the park. Now, so if this is a way to kind of funnel out information to the people that are creating content about Universal, I think it's a win-win for all.
Yep. Looking forward to it. And like I said, we're so proud of Mike and good luck with his new gig. So also speaking of Universal, and we're going to combine this piece and the next piece. Mask mandates. Universal Studios Hollywood has lifted its outdoor mask mandate. We recently talked about how Universal Orlando had gotten rid of its mask mandate both indoors and outdoors. Effective February 16th, Universal Studios in Hollywood, out in California, has dropped its mask mandate outdoors. However, they are still requiring masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status, when you are at Universal Hollywood. In addition to this, in Disneyland and Disney World, face masks have been dropped indoors and outdoors. So I know this all gets very confusing.
Yes.
It's a lot to keep up with. Basically, the only theme park, major theme park right now, where you have to wear a face mask at all is Universal Studios Hollywood, and they make you wear it indoors while on rides or in attractions. Disneyland, Disney World, Universal Orlando has dropped face mask mandates indoors and outdoors. Obviously, if you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. Wear it indoors, wear it outdoors, wear it wherever you like. You are still perfectly welcome to. But their staff will no longer be enforcing. They will no longer be suggesting. This is for folks who are fully vaccinated. People who have not been vaccinated are still encouraged to wear masks. However, none of the Florida parks are checking vaccination status. Disneyland is not checking vaccination status. The only place that does check vaccination status is still Universal Hollywood on select days. I believe it's when they believe their attendance will go over 5,000. They may ask you to show your COVID vaccination status or a negative test. Ooh, I need to take a breath, and I'm going to let you jump in because that was a big mouthful. Yes. Obviously, it's confusing. It still can be, frustrating for some people. But the bottom line is the masks are slowly disappearing. How do you feel about this?
So I spent the bulk of the fall in LA. So I was at Universal Studios Hollywood almost every day.
Okay. Wow.
Wearing the mask outside there is not an issue for me because the climate is just so drastically different.
The low humidity. It's not
absolutely
bad.
Absolutely. And with the vaccination checking at the front, they were so quick. They just had security set up. Mm-hmm. It's been a total, from what I've seen, smooth, to implement. During the week, they're usually not checking just because of how low the number in attendance are, but the weekends are. And then kind of jumping ship to Disney World. So you still have to wear it on transportation.
Yes. So, I'm sorry. I should definitely clarify that. The federal guidelines for transportation still are being applied. So if you are on a bus, if you're in a monorail, if you are in any kind of enclosed transportation like the Disney Skyliner, you're still required. Not required on the parking trams, but encouraged.
Yes. So I was there on Thursday. I went to Epcot and Hollywood Studios just to kind of see what was what. A lot of people were still wearing masks indoors. And I think the biggest confusion was the transportation thing. When I was boarding the monorail at Disney's Polynesian, a lot of people didn't know that you had to wear it still on the monorail. Mm-hmm. So the cast members were really great with the boxes of the disposable masks that they were handing out. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a good sight to see because it is so confusing. And with things changing at such a rapid pace, it's hard to keep up.
Absolutely. Better safe than sorry. Me personally, I have a collection of disposable masks shoved into every pocket of every jacket that I own. So, I'm constantly forgetting them. And then I'm like, all right, got to put it back on. I'm fully vaccinated, I'm boosted. If I am going to be stuck in the caves of Rise of the Resistance's queue, shoulder to shoulder with someone for an hour and a half, I'll throw on a mask. I'm constantly moving through an area, if I'm not paused, up close with strangers in a confined area, I'm kind of over the mask thing by now. But if I'm trapped in a queue, if I'm trapped in an enclosed, if I'm going to be riding Mission Space, the capsule with someone I don't know, I'll probably throw the mask on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I will say they've been really good about it. Like with the Skyliner, I haven't been seated with another party.
No, me neither.
At all recently. And even when there's a little bit of a line, so I'm kind of happy they're doing that. I really don't want to ride with other people, and just in general. So we shall see how this progresses, but we're moving forward.
See, we had an interesting comment from Brian here. Galactic Star Cruiser is a hotel. It is not actually transportation. It is not actually flying through space. So you do not have to wear your mask entire time on Galactic Star Cruiser. In fact, Speaking of Galactic Star Cruiser, we have some friends who are going to be heading out there for a media preview in just a few days. Are you on that very special list?
I am not. It is very select.
Me neither. Me neither. You're in good company. We're both
I'm excited for the people that are going and
very
just
excited. Very happy for them.
Yes. Thoughts, opinions. It's a lot of influencers, so be looking out on Instagram and all that because I'm sure I think they're under embargo for a few days, but when they get back to Earth, we should be seeing some really
we do have some members of the attractions team. Yes. Neither of us, but they will be going and they will be reporting back, and we'll hopefully get all the dirt. I can't wait to hear more about that. And our last bit for news in the queue. You can battle alongside the Dark Knight during the Batman season at Warner Brothers World in Abu Dhabi from February 12th through March 31st. In case you haven't heard, there is a brand new live action Batman movie coming out called The Batman, very imaginatively titled. And to celebrate its release, Warner Brothers World, which is in Abu Dhabi, is calling on fans of the Caped Crusader to join series of in-park experiences, which include you can choose a sticker representing whether you are on Team Batman or Team Rogues. And then throughout the park, you will find things like special projections with the bat symbol on the ceiling in the Warner Brothers Plaza when you enter. And then throughout Gotham City area, you are going to find activities such as the all-new Scarecrow Revenge Show, which delivers a dynamic performance featuring DC supervillains Harley Quinn and Scarecrow, along with the Caped Crusader himself. How big a Batman fan are you, Carly?
If Val Kilmer was involved, then I would say yes. But I do want to go to Abu Dhabi.
Val Kilmer, not George Clooney?
No, I don't know. Doesn't do it for me. This festival looks really cool. I also saw there's going to be a Batman waffle at the Beverly Hills Boulangerie. So if anyone has pictures, I hope they post it.
Yes, I want to see what a Batman waffle looks like.
I mean, a Mickey waffle maker, but a Batman shape. So
I can see it.
Yeah.
I have never been to the Middle East, I've been threatening for years to take a trip out to Asia with a stopover see some of these parks in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, because just from the photos and the videos I've seen, they're really spectacular. They do have a attraction there called Batman Night Flight, which is the next generation of the Kuka Robo arm that they used on the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey attraction. I've been very excited to see that for myself, since there is hardly any video available of that ride. If you are, planning a trip through the Middle East, sometime between February 12th through the 20th, actually, it's also Saturdays and Sundays from the 26th through March 20th, and daily through March 26th through the 31st. So head on over to wbworldabudhabi.com for more information. All right. Well, that concludes our news in the queue. But before we get to this week's main attraction, we are going to hear a really quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
Okay, for this week's main attraction, Disney has announced Story Living by Disney branded residential communities. If simply visiting the Disney parks is not enough for you, you will have an opportunity to live inside Disney, because the next Disney experience is Story Living by Disney. All new Disney branded master planned residential communities. The first one is going to be built in Rancho Mirage, California, which is near Palm Springs. There's a video with products chairman Josh DeMauro describing the vision of this. Basically, they are applying what Disney does best, their world-class service, legendary storytelling, and creativity to creating the first Story Living by Disney community, which will be called Cotino. And it will include luxury homes plus amenities like shops and community areas. And I gotta throw this over to you because my brain is kind of melting.
Yes.
I am old enough to remember Celebration, when Celebration was first developed by Disney under Michael Eisner, and it was going to be the future of residential living. And it was going to be a model for communities all across the country. And I feel like I've just had a flashback, like we are right back in 1990 again. What do you think of this?
I mean, they've tried it so many times. If you go back to, you know, the early days of Disney Springs, it was the Lake Buena Vista townhome. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do that. This, I mean, the renderings look amazing. That Crystal Lagoon pool looks insane. It uses that technology that keeps the water really clear, really free of chemicals. My one issue is I don't want to go somewhere in the summer. It's 120 degrees. The depths of Coachella Valley. That is.
Yeah. I mean, the very first thing. Yes. They have this gorgeous central 24-acre grand oasis featuring crystal clear turquoise waters using Crystal Lagoon's technology, which sounds absolutely amazing until you consider the fact that this is in the middle of a desert. And we are in the middle of the worst drought in 1,200 years. And water and its usage is only going to become a bigger and bigger issue in Southern California over the next 50 years. So I'm not really sure of the environmental responsibility of creating a big scenic lake in the middle of a desert.
Right.
In order to access that, it looks like you are going to have to pay for voluntary club membership, which will include access to a waterfront clubhouse, a club-only beach area, recreational water activities, and Disney programming and entertainment and activities throughout the year. So it does look like merely purchasing your home will not be enough. There will also be, if you want to be able to take advantage of any of the things the community has to offer, there'll be additional fees on top of it. It looks like at least one neighborhood is going to be exclusive for residents 55 and older, which basically means that this is the offspring of Celebration and the Villages, which if there's a wonderfully terrifying documentary, you can find online about the Villages. If you are not familiar with that, it's a massive retirement community, not too far from Disney. I think that people will probably be divided. Even people who are big fans of Disney's parks and attractions will probably be divided between people who think that this sounds like the greatest idea ever and people who think that they'd rather live anywhere in the world but here. Have you spent much time at Celebration? Have you?
Yes. It's so quaint. You can ride your bike. And this just doesn't feel like that. You know, this feels a little bit more glossy.
Yeah.
Definitely has that modern thing going for it. I mean, I do appreciate that they're doing condominiums and there's all different styles of mm-hmm. houses that you can buy into here. But I just can't get over the location.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard one for me.
So in addition to the homes, there will be a mixed-use town center district with, as I said, shopping, dining, entertainment. They're also planning a beachfront hotel. So if you just want to visit but don't want to live there, that will be possible too. You will be able to access the water activities by purchasing a day pass. So I guess it will be a bit of a tourism destination. I know personally on my upcoming trip to California, I am planning a day trip to Palm Springs because I want to see Palm Springs. I want to, you know, go to the antique stores and see some of the quaint local shops and restaurants. And I'm kind of going there to get away from Disney for a day.
Right.
But Disney is following us there.
I feel like Palm Springs is so tangibly linked to Disney. You know, mm-hmm. Fag, the artist that does all that Polynesian pop artist, mm-hmm. he has a gallery there, tiki bars, you know, there's so many links to mm-hmm. Disney. So, but it is definitely an oasis away. And I think I would much rather move to Palm Springs than deep in the Coachella Valley.
Right, right. Well, if you are interested, storylivingbydisney.com. I don't think that they are accepting deposits or anything yet. This is right now in the planning stages. And, you know, knowing environmental regulations in California, I can foresee many months and years of permitting and evaluations before this actually is breaking ground, much less finished. But we will definitely be keeping an eye on this. Okay. Well, we survived our first episode together.
Yes, we did.
Did you have fun?
I had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Well, before we say goodbye, we do have some listener thank yous to share. In case you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan. If you choose either the club or VIP tiers, and the VIP tier is currently closed. We have reached capacity, but club is still available right now. Anyway, if you subscribe to one of those levels, the week after you subscribe, you will get a shout out from us here on the podcast. Woo-hoo. So this week we are giving our very special thanks to no one. Yes, I'm sad to report that no one new signed up this week. However, I'm going to give a shout out to the people who signed up last time because we like you. Jillian Roby, Betty Ann Jourdain, and Damon Wilder. Thanks again. If you would like to hear different names said next week, namely your own, please go ahead and sign up so I can have someone new to say. If you head over to our website while you're there, you can also pick up our winter issue, which is available now. And before we go, I want to thank, most importantly, our sponsor, Destination with Character Travel, once again. I also want to remind you all, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to give us a review, and then hop on to Spotify and give us a rating. We really appreciate it. It helps more people discover the podcast. If you want to find out more coverage from us and from Attractions Magazine, Attractions Magazine, you can find at attractionsmagazine.com, on Twitter at Attractions, at Attractions Magazine on Instagram, or at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. You can find me personally at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at the UG series, or at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. And Carly, where can they find you?
Yes, yeah, so my Twitter is Carly Caramana. And on Instagram, it's a little easier to spell. It's just Adventures by Carly.
Awesome. Well, you will hopefully be back with us next week. Yeah. Yes. And we'll, until then, I hope all of you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, guys.